From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Reginald Hardwick, News and Public Affairs Director at Illinois Public Media. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. Early voting is underway for the March 17th primary. Candidates are battling to represent you in the county and state government, as well as the governor's race. Four Republican candidates have thrown their hats in the ring to challenge two-term Governor J.B. Pritzker in November. They face an uphill battle against a billionaire Democrat in a state that has shifted more and more blue over the past decade. Mawa Iqbal has more.
It's a Friday afternoon. Dozens of people are gathered inside a community room in Champaign, about a mile away from the University of Illinois campus. Ted Dabrowski is hosting a meet and greet, and he's pulling up a slideshow on the overhead screen when a blown-up picture of Governor J.B. Pritzker pops up.
Let's remember the target.
All right.
Very well. Oh, okay. Dabrowski is a former president of conservative think tank WirePoints. He's been following Illinois' economic policies for at least 15 years, and he says Pritzker has made the state too expensive for people.
We should be leading the country in economic growth, in job creation, in wage growth, population, and we're not. We're a bottom five state.
Census data from the last year shows Illinois has seen population growth over the past few years. Before Dabrowski goes up against Pritzker, he has to contend with three other candidates who have also been campaigning on similar issues. Here they all are.
Just new taxes upon new taxes.
We're the highest property taxes in the country.
They can't pay any more rent. Real estate taxes go up.
They're taxing your taxes.
It's a crowded GOP primary field that faces a tall task in flipping Illinois' executive mansion red in November. The last time a Republican won statewide office was former Governor Bruce Rauner in 2014. And suburban counties that were once Republican strongholds are now won handily by Democrats, like DuPage County, where two-term Sheriff James Mendrick was the first to jump in the race a year ago. He says working as a cop for 30 years in the Chicagoland area has earned him a positive reputation with Democrats, even in Chicago's inner city.
I laugh because I'm like, I'm the only white guy out there, and I'm like, my opponents will never come out here. So this is all mine.
Video gaming mogul Rick Heidner, who's neck and neck in the fundraising lead with Dabrowski, says residents, no matter their party, just want to feel safe again.
I kept seeing all this harm that was happening in our state, all these people that are getting hurt, you know, killed, raped, beaten, and none of it makes any sense to me.
That may be his pitch to voters, but research from the University of Chicago shows that violent crime has plummeted across the U.S. and in Chicago, where most of the candidates hail from, except for one, Darren Bailey. His name is probably more familiar to the state's electorate because of his losing bid to unseat Pritzker back in 2022.
Right, I want to pay for it. We'll go outside, I want to support
give you
some all.
Signs and take pictures. So.
The downstate farmer paid a visit in January to a local coffee stand in Verdon, about a 20-minute drive from Springfield. The town has a little over 3,000 people in it.
The future of this small business here, it depends on one thing to grow, and that is that we fire J.B. Pritzker this November. Are you on board with me for that?
Pritzker's campaign has wasted no time painting Bailey as, quote, too MAGA for Illinois. He's also lost key support from conservative megadonor Dick Uihlein, who's backing Ted Dabrowski this time around. In this second go at Pritzker, Bailey has rebranded his campaign to put less emphasis on social issues and President Trump, whom Bailey courted 4 years ago.
This does not revolve around President Trump, and I want the people of Illinois to truly understand that. I want them to come and have a conversation with me. We've got our own unique problems and situations, and it's time that we stop this political divisiveness.
The Illinois Republican Party isn't endorsing anyone in this race. The winner will likely duke it out with the heavily favored incumbent, who is expected to emerge from his own primary unscathed, with sights set on becoming one of the state's longest-serving governors. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Now let's talk about the congressional races. Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski is seeking a third term in the 13th Congressional District, which stretches from Champaign-Urbana to East St. Louis. But as IPM's David Pierce reports, Budzinski faces several challengers from the GOP, as well as her own party.
Republican candidate Joshua Lloyd lives in Verdon, Illinois, near Springfield. This is his second time running in the 13th Congressional District. At the 2025 Illinois State Fair, he told me his campaign focuses on energy, education, and the economy.
Economic development within manufacturing or in that respect, but we still have to focus on the farmers. Farmers are one of the most important individuals within our country.
Lloyd says Illinois is one of the top energy producers in the U.S., so he is aiming to help industries make their fuel more affordable.
Whether it's nuclear, solar, coal, natural gas, we are a top producer. So we have to make it cost-effective and efficient in order to produce and export.
Another Republican touts his 30 years of experience with nuclear energy. Champaign County board member Jeff Wilson gained that knowledge in the U.S. Army. I met Wilson at the state fair while campaigning with his wife, Becky. He believes nuclear energy will boost Illinois' economy.
Bringing more energy to Illinois through nuclear power, small modular reactors, so that when you move that light switch, your light goes on. When you want to open up the refrigerator, it's still cooling things.
Another military veteran is running on the Democratic side. We caught up with Dylan Blaha and his team as they passed out pamphlets to students at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The Urbana resident is an Army vet who served in Afghanistan and performed cancer research from 2017 to 2021 as a U of I student. He wants to focus on basic needs if elected to Congress.
Affordable housing. There is a rising unhoused crisis in everywhere from Champaign-Urbana to Springfield to East St. Louis. And so building affordable housing and investing in infrastructure all around towns. There's a lot of young people that are 20, 30, even in their 40s that they just don't feel like they can afford housing anymore.
Blaha is trying to unseat Democratic incumbent Nikki Baczynski, who is running for a third time to represent the 13th Congressional District. During her time in office, Congresswoman Baczynski helped the village of Savoy secure more than $22 million for an infrastructure project that will build a new bridge on Curtis Road so trains can pass over cars, improving travel times. Congresswoman Baczynski told me she wants to continue focusing on economic policies in her next term.
The first is called the LEAP Act, which again connects to my workforce development work. It's a tax credit for small businesses that hire apprentices, again helping to make more opportunities a reality for young people that want to get into the workplace here in Central Illinois.
Baczynski, a former aide for Governor J.B. Pritzker and former President Joe Biden, also supports repealing parts of President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill that would reduce reimbursements to Medicaid.
The 2nd Congressional District stretches from the south side of Chicago along the Indiana border to parts of Champaign and Vermilion counties. The district's current Congresswoman, Robin Kelly, decided not to seek re-election so that she could run for a U.S. Senate seat. As IPM's David Pierce reports, that decision has led to several Democratic, Republican, and independent candidates competing to replace Kelly.
Immigrant workers, they're blaming off black workers.
At a 2025 Labor Day parade, people lined Desplaines Street in Chicago's West Loop to air out grievances with the Trump administration regarding workers' rights.
Any group that they could possibly scapegoat.
Alongside the crowd was State Senator Robert Peters, who has served Illinois' 13th Senate District for the last 7 years, which stretches from Chicago's downtown to the Indiana border.
Medicare for all. It's making sure that we have universal health care. Not only trying to bring back SNAP benefits, but how do we make sure we ease the pressures of people who have food deserts? How do we make sure that we deal with climate change and the fact that communities, particularly in the south suburbs and in our rural communities, are struggling with flooding? How do we make sure that communities have the resources they need to fight back against that?
Peters is in a crowded field of Democratic contenders at the time of this recording. One of which is Jesse Jackson Jr., who is trying to return to the 2nd Congressional District, an office he held from 1995 until he resigned in 2012. Jackson pleaded guilty to misusing $750,000 in campaign funds, spending the money as a personal slush fund. He served nearly 2 years in custody. He says he's earned a second chance.
And so I've been fighting for the forgiveness and the redemption of all mankind, of all men and women. not just Joe Biden's son and family that was pardoned by the governor, by the president, not just the 1,500 people that Donald Trump pardoned because they were his political supporters, but every man and woman in our system who's erred deserves a second chance.
He is a part of a political family. The son of prominent civil rights leader and presidential candidate Jesse Jackson, and brother of Congressman Jonathan Jackson of Illinois' 1st Congressional District. In November, Jesse Jackson Jr. was in Danville to encourage residents that jobs could be brought to central Illinois if an airport was to be built in Chicago's south suburbs to ship packages globally.
It means farmers are going to be able to get their products to market. It means UPS, DHL, Amazon, these large tech companies are going to be able to locate to our area. Hotels, Hyatt, Hilton, Fairmont, all come next door to airports.
One Republican is running for this seat, Michael Scott Nowick, who did not respond to our request for an interview. Independent candidate Ashley Banks is also running.
You can vote for your choice in the Illinois primary on March 17th, 2026. The winners will compete in the general election in November, helping determine if the next U.S. Congress will hold a majority Democratic or Republican seats. David Pierce, IPM News.
You're listening to Dialogue from Illinois Soul. I'm Reginald Hardwick with a little bit of election news. The Champaign County Clerk says some things will be a little bit different this year, like how the U.S. Postal Service processes mail-in ballots. IPM's Arjun Tucker has more.
Early voting will take place at the Bennett Center in downtown Urbana, not at the Brookin Center as in past years. And the U.S. Postal Service has also changed its transportation processes and can no longer guarantee ballots will be postmarked the same day they've been sent in the mail. Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammon says those voting by mail should get their ballots in early.
If you must mail the ballot back to us, then I strongly encourage you to mail your ballot at least 1 week before election day. 7 days is plenty of time for the mail to travel to the closest processing center and guarantee your vote is counted.
Ammons is also encouraging voters to use one of the county's 11 drop boxes. He doesn't expect the changes will affect voter turnout. I'm Arjun Tucker, IPM News.
Listening to Illinois Soul, and this is Dialogue. Now, new leadership that could impact your child in the Champaign or Decatur schools, or if you get services from CU Public Health. Champaign Unit 4 schools will have a new superintendent starting in July. As IPM's Emily Hayes reports, he comes from one of the largest districts in the country.
Giovanni Ponce comes from Fairfax County Public Schools in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. He's a top administrator there with an education PhD and 2 decades of experience teaching and leading schools. He says memories of his childhood in Honduras motivated him to ensure every student gets a quality education.
Probably 50 years ago, you wouldn't recognize me living in poverty. And education changed my life. And because a good teacher, I'm here today.
The school board ousted the previous superintendent in the spring, after new members were elected to the group. Critics said she was not an effective communicator or leader. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
The Decatur School Board appointed its next superintendent last week. Nicole Nash Moody is currently the Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning of Springfield School District 186. She says she appreciates what Decatur is doing and the challenges it faces.
The genius is in the room. The genius is in the room. So we have work to do, and we'll do it together.
The Decatur School Board president says Moody has experience and steady vision needed to stabilize the district and raise literacy scores. Moody and her husband have 2 children in elementary school, 2 in middle, and 2 in high school. She says the Moody bunch will be moving to Decatur with her. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District recently appointed a new administrator and executive director. IPM Student Newsroom's Knox Minot reports.
Dr. Mamadou Tunkara is the new head of CU Public Health. He was appointed earlier this month after former administrator Julie Pride stepped down after 18 years of leadership. Tunkara says he wants to focus on health equity and make sure all residents in the Champaign-Urbana area have access to proper care.
The main goal is really, at least for me, going through public health is to
help people, help alleviate the suffering, because there are a lot of diseases, conditions that are preventable.
Tunkara spent most of his career in Utah, working at both the state and local level. He says he hopes to apply the skills he's gained to his new role. I'm Knox Minot, IPM News.
King Park in Urbana will undergo extensive renovations thanks to a $600,000 grant from the state of Illinois. IPM Student Newsroom's Lyric Roy reports.
Keenan Portis is the park planner for the Urbana Park District. He says it's been more than 20 years since the playground at King Park was last renovated, and he worked over the past year to ensure the park district was listening to the community.
We want to hear, you know, what folks would like to see, maybe what's lacking in that area. So that's really where it stemmed from.
That's something LaShonda Cunningham really appreciates. She served on the planning committee and has been an advocate for improvements of King Park for years.
It's very important for us to, not just for our family, but for our community, to know that there are people who care.
The revitalized park will include a teen hangout terrace, half and full court basketball, a Gaga ball pit, and more accessible sidewalks and walkways. Construction on King Park should wrap up around summer or fall of next year. I'm Lyric Roy, IPM News.
In Atlanta, the city council has finally recognized Georgia's first black baseball team to be invited to the Little League World Series. And I say finally because they earned that invitation back in 1963, towards the end of the Jim Crow era. And as Julian Virgin with WABE in Atlanta reports, the team never actually got to go.
At an American Legion post for veterans in Atlanta, 77-year-old Army vet Levi Miller sits with two old friends around a small, dimly lit table, reminiscing on their first love.
Baseball, we can get out and drive. We can get a tennis ball during the offseason and get a broom handle, right? And just hit the balls in the driveway.
About 10 miles away from where they sit is where they spent their childhood in the 50s and 60s in the west side of Atlanta. In 1962, Miller captained the Simpson Road Trojans, a self-organized neighborhood Little League baseball team.
They were good kids, man. They weren't bad. They just needed a little bit of discipline.
That's Larry Morrow Sr., who was the team's then 16-year-old head coach.
Larry was about 2 years older than we were. And we said, man, ain't no way in the world Larry could teach us that. But boy, what was in for a surprise.
Miller says the Trojans beat everyone in their path, becoming the first black team from Georgia to be invited to the Little League World Series in 1963. But their toughest opponent was right at home, in the segregated South. Their invitation was rescinded due to a technicality.
When we got denied, we know what racism was, because we was hurt. We was hurt.
Atlanta Little League officials denied the Simpson Road Trojans the chance to attend the World Series because of a dispute over a player's age. Local black leaders appealed the decision to no avail. Despite the adversity, the shared disappointment drew the team even closer together, building what they call a league of friends, says Coach Morrow.
After we got to be adults, we played softball together for more than 25 years.
The team evolved into the Atlanta Trojans, sporting bright yellow and green fitted uniforms. 9 out of the original 16 players are still alive today. Many of them recently stood behind Atlanta City Council member Byron Amos as he proclaimed,
"Do hereby recognize and honor the 1962 Simpson Road Trojans Little League team for their historic achievements."
Both team captain and head coach stood side by side, grinning ear to ear, holding the proclamation like a championship trophy.
It means a lot to be recognized because most of us are in our 70s, okay? And, you know, and there's an old saying about giving flowers while you're living. And this is a flower show, I say.
The Trojans' journey is now also a part of a book titled A League of Friends. For NPR News, I'm Julian Virgin in Atlanta.
That's all for this week's Dialogue. Our theme was composed by Lamont Holden. Dialogue and Illinois Soul are part of Illinois Public Media, a service of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Don't forget to register to vote, and we'll talk with you again next time.